got there just to turn around and reconsider everything. I'm making up to you, I'm going. Strange emotion in her voice. Thought that sits for several years.
Promise that miracles can happen is never more certain than during the holiday season, when it really does seem that your dreams and wishes can come true. From a guardian angel who finds a desperately needed job for a man whose wife is about to give birth right before Christmas, to a pair of grieving parents who receive a warm Christmas message from their recently departed son, these incredible but true, larger-than-life miracles celebrate the wondrous joys of this special time of year, because the first Christmas, and every one since, is a miracle. The website is www.bradandsherry.com, B-R-A-D-A-N-D-S-H-E-R-R-Y, no spaces, no hyphens, just bradandsherry.com.
Yep.
And Ghosty Talk would like to welcome Brad Steiger to the show.
I'm delighted to be here.
It's good to have. We've been trying to get
Christmas
you.
Christmas holiday.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
We've been, I know we've been going back and forth for a couple of years now, Brad.
yeah.
Trying to get
true.
You on the show.
Right.
It's good to finally have you here, I got to say. I have to say right out of the gate, I've admired your work for years, so it's really great.
Well,
an honor to talk to you. Because, across the board, a lot of us, that are into, that study the paranormal and things like that. I hope this doesn't offend you, but you're considered old school. I mean, you're considered one of the originals that's been doing this thing for many, many years. So my hat comes off to you here on the show. I really appreciate you joining us.
Well, I appreciate old school. Joshua Warren, not long ago, called me the great grandfather of the field. I kind of winced on that one.
Yeah, I wasn't going to go there.
but then he said, when I kind of went, ooh, I guess that's a compliment. He said, yes, it is, but Brad, that your first works appeared 4 years before either of my parents were born.
Oh, no. Nah, I would have been offended at that one. Hey, come on now, take it easy.
Like, hey, back off. Yes.
Yeah. Well, but your newest work, one of your newest works here for the holiday season, is Christmas Miracles, Inspirational True Stories of Holiday Magic. We thought this would have been...
This is the perfect time.
I mean, we're a week before Christmas, like literally days before Christmas. And, you know, I think this is one thing I haven't... Miracles is just something... When I saw this topic, I'm like, we talked about this before ever on this show, where we've talked about all this crazy stuff. It's been like miracles.
Right, the only miraculous thing.
Did we ever talk about it before, like years back or anything?
Well, not Christmas miracles, but I know that the only miraculous thing that we've talked about that I can think of offhand is when we didn't get hurt in that amazing accident. It was like there was
a team
of angels watching over us at that time, and everybody's angel just like got on the ball right then and there, and nobody was hurt. And I think that really was divine intervention.
This was years ago. We were to make it really quick because our listeners are going to kill us for telling the story again.
Because they'll be like, not again.
But no, we were on our way out to an engagement, and there was like four carloads of us on the freeway. Long story short, the lady who Doug was in the car in front of everybody. He was leading the pack, and there was a lady in front of him, and she just decided to slam on her brakes on the freeway to make an illegal turn off the freeway.
And we were doing a caravan kind of thing, so we were all like, it was really close.
Well, and all the cars went out of control, and the one thing that I remember personally is we call it the canary truck, because it was a yellow Sport Escape, and literally... I felt that there was a big car hauler behind us. And this guy did some of the most fantastic rig driving I've ever seen. He literally just drove right around the whole accident, right? And buzzed right by our ears. I know he buzzed right by my ear as I was holding our buddy Pete, like almost crying. We were so scared, you know. And I said
that was a close one.
But you see, so what it is that
it was a miracle. It was really amazing.
Yeah. So I imagine a lot of people have experienced that miracle, or not that particular
one. Maybe not quite
as
visceral as that.
But other ones similar. Yeah. And of course, every time you, go to the hospital because of a birth, I mean, that's miraculous. Mm, I mean,
that is a wonderful miracle.
So everybody has seen these things and heard of them, but they, you know, it's like the ones around Christmas, though, seem special.
Because they always get,
you know, the TV shows, the books, the music,
even the
songs talk about the Christmas miracle. I mean, it's just amazing. So this is very topical.
Days before
Christmas.
But let's just underline one thing, guys.
Okay.
Until a few years ago, that was the only time we talked about angels.
Because when I
was a kid growing up, you know, well, Christmas we have heard on high, angels we have heard, and we had our little pageant plays and so forth, but no one really said, I saw an angel or an angel saved me. We become freer now in discussing that, and I know that you saw that. Well, in fact, I think I sent it to you. The study that was done just very shortly where 55% of Americans claim to have interacted with their angels. And that includes 1 in 5 who never go to church or never go to temple. I mean, they're totally unchurched. They have no organization. But 1 in 5 Americans feel they have seen an angel or interacted with an angel. And one study at a university feels that 2/3 of Americans have had some kind of mystical experience with an angel, with a ghost, with telepathy. Now, think of that, 2/3. And again, he emphasized that of those 2/3, a great majority, again, were not members of any spiritual body. So we have to emphasize that this just doesn't come to Christians or Jews. This comes to everyone, the interaction with the angel, the benevolent beings.
Well, yeah, I mean, I, We've had things happen to us.
And I have to say, if they had called me, if the university and people doing the survey had called me and said, you know, have you ever, you know, benefited from having an angel or whatever, I'd be, oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the, you know, because of
the car wreck and other things.
But the most obvious in my life was that. Well, and I know that there was work done behind the scenes that we don't know how or why or what, but there was work done there that was, you know, of a divine inspiration, because that was a really nasty scene. And I maintain that, yes.
Well, I often just kind of look at general things, too. I mean, in life, I mean, yeah, that was an extreme situation that, you know, had an extreme reaction, responses, everything around it.
I think that was more like the billboard or the blimp with the flashing signs.
It was bad, yeah.
Your guardian angel is here, you know. Yeah. I really think so.
But, and as nasty as it sounds, probably right after that, your guardian angel put in for a transfer.
She's like, oh, that's a lot
this
of work.
Too much.
come on. I need a rest. Send someone else to watch these guys.
These ones are crazy people.
Well, what I was saying, though, is like just in general life, I think like day to day, I often really, and I think I've mentioned this to you also, Doug, that I just this some of the synchronicities that I experience in my life really, really just, they make me laugh. Like, not everything works out. Yeah, things sometimes really suck, right? But I've noticed a lot of things. I'm trying to look at the positive, like anybody does. And I noticed there's just some situations that I've been put in, especially over the last, like, 3-4 years, where it's like, how could this have not worked? This worked out so perfectly.
And
right?
Some of that, though, I think is because we kind of tend to pay attention to that kind of thing. Because
yeah,
we talk at great length
about really, really boring things, but yeah. We really get off on it because it's like, it worked out so well. That plug worked perfect for that thing. I mean, but it's these little things, and I think that's what makes, you know, well, first off, like, sometimes my point was, is that I think sometimes, like, some of these situations, I really think that there is somebody going, yeah, let me just work this for him a little bit. Let me just pull some strings here and make it happen.
And I'm so glad that people are starting to talk about, you know, angels, divine intervention, about spirituality in general.
Yeah.
Whether they go to the church or not, that people are starting to look beyond their own egos.
Yeah,
and,
totally.
And try to, you know, grow and become, you know, more...
Just pay more attention to it, I think, you know, not like...
And that's a big step today in our ultra-uber scientific world, that we are able to set our egos aside and recognize that we could be guided and guarded and protected, given inspiration by beings that we can't always see, but yet... I love that, you know, one of the basic passages in the scripture is that we may entertain angels unaware. Mm-hmm. Now, how many times in your life, looking back on it, have you talked to someone, have you communicated, have you spent some time, and then maybe literally seen that person round the corner and then say, oh, I had one more thing to tell him, you go around the corner, and there's nobody there. There's nobody in sight.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that last minute thing when you realize, and what does angel mean? Messenger. That a messenger came to you just when you really need it. So it's not always the dramatic rescue from the automobile or the train accident, but mm-hmm. it can be just something as simple as giving someone a kind word when they need to hear it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what my point was, Brad, was just that. Like, you know, it isn't always about the extreme situations like we talked about.
No.
It's about these little things like, wow, you know, again, yeah, some nice interaction with somebody. Like, boy, you know, I'm really glad I bumped into you. I mean, I just had a situation about, what was it, when we were at the concert, we met Lenny, right?
Mm-hmm.
We met some fantastic people. And had we not met these people, we would have lost our minds waiting nonstop for 3 hours, right? Doing nothing, being bored out of our mind. But we met these wonderful people who really, like, just, you know, we had a good conversation. We had fun. And by the end, we were all buddies shaking hands and hugging and stuff like that. And it's these wonderful, it is these nice things that make you feel good, you know, after you walk out of a situation like that, right? They may not be angels, but I mean, I think in some of those situations, I think that there are some people going, we need to give these people a hand. Let's hook something up here and take care of them, right?
So they may not be angels, but they may have been brought to you by angels.
Point, right, point, exactly.
It's been a subtle guidance.
Exactly. That's my whole point, is that, you know, there's all these things. It isn't just, you know, being saved out from in front of the train. It's the little things. It is the cool stuff when somebody opens a door up for you, you know, when you're carrying a bunch of stuff. It means a lot to people sometimes, you know. And I tell people that all the time, like, don't take these things for granted. These are the important things. The little things, like opening a door up for somebody or letting somebody in traffic, even though it's illegal. Letting somebody in traffic, you know, it's still a nice gesture, waving to someone, going thank you, and thanking them too. That's important.
That's
right. Also, I mean,
that's
by no means
a method.
By no means am I the poster boy for good. Oh my God, what's the word I'm looking for here? Good punctuality, or whatever it may be. But I mean, yeah, it's these things are important, I think, especially this time. Like, good manners, there's the word. Duh. It's important.
That's almost disappeared.
Yeah. No, and that's exactly my point, especially this time of year when people are kind of like, you know, yeah, everybody's like, oh, yeah, you know, it's the holidays. And I always kind of go, you know, when we talked with Glenn, we said the same thing. I'm like, you know, yeah, this time of year, everybody's like, oh, well, we have to, you know, we have to be nice and we have to give. But it's like, why aren't you doing this all year long, man? Right.
Right.
So
not just when you think Santa is.
Right.
Exactly. Right. So, you know, it's the little things, I think, that, you know, that we may be guided to do, that maybe these are little miracles. I've had some crap days, and I mean, it just took one person to go, hey, dude, how you doing, you know, and open a door up for me or do something, or, hey, here, you take that last coffee out, you know, that's all good, dude, you need the coffee, you know. So
that's what we try to stress. As you know, we have an entire miracle series, and you know, these are, some of them are dramatic, profound miracles. And others are the kind of miracle you're describing, you know, just being gracious to someone, just being kind to someone, having someone being kind to you when you really needed it. Those are small miracles that really make life significant and worth living, you know. Those are the little perks we get for being human beings.
Yeah, totally. And I can't stress that enough. Well, I was trying to stress it, but I can't breathe. But something's happened there. But no, those are the important things all year long. All year long.
That's
open
right.
the doors
That's
up.
Right.
Do these cool things
all year
people,
long.
You know, and it really, really helps a lot. Miracles, though. I mean, these are little miracles. All these little things happen, you know. I had a little miracle happen, you know, where I finally found a way to retrieve all my email. Yay! Right?
Yay!
I was so happy. It was a miracle that I figured it out.
That's
but, you
a
know,
technological miracle.
Technological miracle. But, you know, let's get into some of these, if you don't mind, Brad. I mean, let's hit a few of these guys. I want to hear some of these Christmas stories, of these Christmas miracles. And I'm going to give the floor to you. I'm done. I'm getting off my soapbox and giving the floor to you, Brad.
What Sherry and I have done in Christmas miracles, which we're delighted. This has been out since 2001, and in 2002 won the World Short Story Telling Contest. It got a big badge for that or whatever. We got a nice piece of paper anyway.
And deservedly so. That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you. So these are, you know, true holiday miracles, but emphasizing Christmas, because whatever your faith, it is Christmas that inspires the bright lights and these acts of charity and have been in our culture, which is not denying anyone else's faith or anyone's path. But Christmas miracles then specifically deal with this time of the year. And one that I like them all in the book, but the one that we, you know, it's hard, like, you know, which is your favorite child?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
You can't do that. But the one that I was so inspired by hearing And I heard it not only from the pastor who was involved, but many people in the congregation. And this was a man who had been to seminary, and it was kind of in the tradition. And let's be honest now. Not every pastor, not every priest is really happy if he's given a small parish out in the country somewhere. Uh-huh. I mean, some do aspire, and not putting them down, but since I was almost seminary bound myself one time, and I know a lot of my classmates who went on, some of them aspired, you know, as others would a career, and there's nothing wrong with that. But this fellow, this pastor, had always thought that he'd have a nice big congregation in Chicago or Albany or someplace. Yeah. And he got sent to a little rural community in Wyoming. And, you know, he tries to make the best of it, but he's talking one time just before Christmas and just before he gives the big Christmas sermon. He's talking to his parents back in Chicago where he is from. And he's saying things like, you know, I don't know how much longer I can take it here, you know, really. And, you know, he's going, and then he looks, and there he sees his secretary standing with this incredibly hurt look.
Oh, yeah.
And he thinks, oh, my gosh. So he says, you know, he hangs up, and he goes after her and says, I maybe just, you know, was a little, I shouldn't have used the language I did, you know, like this is a God-forsaken place. I didn't really mean God-forsaken, you know. Of course, God is here. So the interesting thing that night is the choir has been rehearsing excerpts from the Messiah, and I think we're all familiar with those, mm-hmm. at least the Hallelujah chorus, if nothing else.
Yeah.
But there's a beautiful, beautiful song in there. And they're reaching that point, and the back doors of the church open, and a woman comes walking in. No one's ever seen her before. And she comes walking straight up by the choir. And then a cappella, she sings, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd," which is a beautiful alto solo. And she does it a cappella because there's no orchestra. The organist is spellbound. He stops playing. The choir stops. They listen to her. And she sings it perfectly. And there's hardly a dry eye in the entire congregation, including the pastors. And then the woman walks out. Now, there were ushers, of course, at the door. And I first, when the pastor told me this, I thought, ah, the story ends, he chases her out to the lot, and they have a cars come back in, and they start to date, and they marry this beautiful. But no, it ends quite differently.
Yeah.
Once she gets to the parking lot, the ushers, other people, see her disappear.
Oh!
Wow.
Just disappear. And of course, they can't quite believe their eyes. They check car. There aren't any other cars. There's nothing leave. There's nothing. And they are convinced, every member of that congregation, that an angel came that night and sang that beautiful alto solo from the Messiah.
Wow. Okay. Now,
go ahead, Doug. Did that change the, like, obviously, then that particular church was not God-forsaken.
No.
And there's more than enough proof right there because we
right.
had witnesses.
You realize it was but God-blessed,
it
not
was
God-forsaken.
Indeed blessed in that case. Did the pastor end up, or the priest end up staying there, or did he?
Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yes. And as far as I know, he's still there.
That is beautiful.
I wouldn't have left either. That'd be pretty cool. I'd be waiting for it to happen again. Like, whoa, that was a real trip. I want to see that again.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Again, several members of the congregation, it's not just the pastor, but several people said, you know, it was just astounding. And a similar case happened in Great Britain during a baptismal service, where this incredibly beautiful sort of androgynous being appeared, and seemed to take part in the blessing. And every member of the church saw that entity, and then it disappeared.
Wow.
Now, that child, I would like to follow through and see what that child's mission in life might be to get such a heavenly sponsor at baptism.
So, like an angel, I mean, I guess we'll just call it that. It took part in the blessing of this child.
Right.
Well, yeah, that's definitely...
A lot of the stories we have, that's, I think, a very positive one to start with and leaves you with a sense of awe and joy, you know, because the Messiah is such a joyous piece of music.
Oh, yeah.
But, again, we're talking Handel's Messiah, of course. A lot of the stories we have are kind of tearjerkers, to be honest with you. But, you know, I think there's part of that that goes with Christmas. Because, and I know you've seen these stats as well, that for many, many people, Christmas is a very sad time.
Yeah, it is.
Yes.
Now, we've lost three members of our family right at Christmas time.
Oh.
Ooh.
My first wife, my father, and Sherry's son.
Oh, man.
All right at Christmas time. So, you know, Christmas has that, you know, piquant quality to it, you know, where it's a sobering time. And you know, as one of my daughters said, you know, and she's very active in the church now, but she said it took her years before she could hear certain hymns or certain carols, you know, because of the memories it brought back. So we have to respect that it does bring that kind of memory to some people.
Oh.
But the stories we have that maybe moisten the eye a bit, I think, also end with a joyous interpretation.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much we have before a break.
Yeah, well, I think we want to just
cut the break, yeah, and then we can start fresh on the other side
and
of
we'll
that.
Start, yes, the other side of the break. I like that.
Okay. That's a good idea. Why don't we do that? But, this is, like, really, it's already getting heavy.
I love it.
I had a feeling this was going to get heavy like
Well, you know what's going through my head? The chorus of Hallelujah is going through my head now the entire time. I'm thinking, I wish I could see this amazing, amazing, you know, apparition. But you guys, speaking of amazing things, there are independent bands all over the earth putting music together. And while it's not all Handel's Messiah, it's at least an independent production, and it's out of, you know, their hearts, and it's done out of their creativity and their hearts. So that's why we play only independent music on our breaks. And
this is our last show of the year here. We're in the home stretch. We're here with Brad Steger. Couldn't have a better person here to finish the year off with us. Just trying to kind of realizing that this is the end of the year.
Right. So during this independent music break, I want y'all to go visit www.bradandsherry.com. And while you do that, enjoy this.
The beginning of a very long story.
Yes. I hope you enjoyed that. We're talking with
it's a Fred. Miracle that we're back.
Oh, you're good.
I know.
You're really good.
I had to just do something stupid because, you know, well, whatever.
I think
holidays.
It's fantastic.
Well, I just,
last show of the year, and, yeah. And you're doing good. We're talking with Brad Steger of www.bradandsherry.com. And, of course, back in 2001, they wrote Christmas Miracles, Inspirational True Stories of Holiday Magic. And, you know, Brad and Sherry have written, you know, since then. This one, though, is so topical.
Yeah.
And time, you know, time, the time of year to be inspired by Christmas miracles and think about, you know, the miracles that happen to you every single day.
Yeah.
Of your life. And but around Christmas time is the time when we actually pay attention and really notice them and get to talk about them with folks like Brad. So, Brad, we were talking about...
Christmas is
a great time, but yeah, sometimes it's a little bit on the sad side because of people who passed around Christmas time or, you know, things
like
that.
Well, I think people generally get depressed around this time of year, too. I mean, because it may not be a death or something like that.
Well,
it may just be loneliness. Like sometimes people don't have family or they don't have
the change of weather,
yeah.
the longer nights and shorter days. I mean, there's a whole bunch of psychological factors.
Yeah.
And so not all Christmas miracles have like this. Some might have a little bent to it.
Well,
like, oh.
I should say, rather, you know, kind of an ambiguity there.
Yeah.
This story I'm going to tell next is that on one level a sad story, but on the other, a joyous story.
Okay.
Where a family was given a great gift. And it started out, one would not think so. There was a particular man who kind of was Mr. Christmas. His parents, ever since he was a little boy, he just was just went wild at Christmas time. And as he grew up and had a family, he just put so much emphasis. He just loved Christmas. And they always had a big family gathering. They always just had a wonderful time. And just a few days before Christmas, he was in a fatal automobile accident and died.
Oh, my God.
Oh, tragic.
So now, here's this young man with wife and young children, very young children, who won't be around the Christmas table this year.
Oh.
So his mother, it's his mother who told the story to us, she said that, you know, she really tried to maintain a balance, an equilibrium. And they put up on the fireplace mantle, they put a little tree, and they put some decorative Christmas balls and so forth around it with his picture there. And then Christmas Eve... the family came over, and she tried to be, but, you know, she loved her daughter-in-law, and she loved her grandchildren, but yet, you know, there was part of her that just wanted to be alone, and she tried not to be irritable, but somehow, you know, just everything seemed to grate. I mean, it just, she didn't have time to grieve, in other words, you know.
Yeah.
She had to go from the death of her son and the funeral and then Christmas and try to still maintain a certain visage for the grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
So she hears this Christmas music coming, and she thinks her husband is playing it. And he says, I'm not playing any music. You know, I don't have any on. She says, well, just shut it off, will you? And he says, but I don't have any on. And checks the radio, checks the stereo. Then she says, I hear it. I'm telling you, maybe there's a car parked outside. You know, they're playing music. Go out and see. And you know, please ask them to. And the husband says, oh, okay. And I'll go out. There's nobody there. And then as she listens, she hears a like it's music she has never really heard before. And then she says to the rest of the family, listen, don't you hear that? And they gather around and they all say, yes, I hear music. Where is it coming from? So they go over to the mantle, over to the picture, And there, this music is coming from behind their son's picture.
Wow.
And then the music changes from this heavenly music that they can't recognize to the familiar song, "I'll Be Home for Christmas, If Only in My Dreams."
Wow.
They were given, all of them, a most beautiful gift, and the children at that young age were given a gift that Dad is still there in one form, still looking after them, and they're also given the great gift that life goes on beyond death. And that's the message of Christmas, that there is life beyond this world.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, that truly is a miracle. I mean,
more bad radio here.
I know.
We're not saying anything.
We're
just kind of like, whoa, dude, this is so heavy. Wow.
That family was truly
lucky
and blessed.
Truly blessed. It started out very sad.
I mean,
and you know,
it's bittersweet. Obviously,
bittersweet.
You know,
bittersweet.
You know.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's wow. Okay. All right. You know, but it is these things, you know, I mean, it's these stories. And I know I've heard of other people who have lost family members right around the holiday, you know, and it's tough. Like we were saying before, it's very, very tough. So this is an excellent story to hear that someone, you know, hey, again, we're kind of getting some confirmation here. Yeah, look, I'm still around. Just relax. You know, I'm still keeping an eye on things. So.
I'm still here.
Well, what else do we have? Is there another story you can tell us? Because if it's any heavier than that, I'm going to be breaking down here anytime soon, Brad. I'm going to fall apart on the air.
Well, this also makes you a little bit clamped. But, again, it's left with a wonderful message. And this happened in the early days of World War II, and a family in northern Minnesota. This is in the day that's almost alien to young people today. You know, the soda shop and the magazines, spindle next to the soda fountain with the comic books and the magazines and so forth. If you can visualize that, maybe from It's a Wonderful Life, you can visualize that. But anyway, we go back to that time, and a young woman is working, young girl, high school girl, is working in the soda fountain. And every day her little brother comes to walk her home. He comes from school and walks her home. Well, on this particular time, this particular evening, early evening, her boyfriend is there. And so the boyfriend says, you know, let's go sledding before you go home. Come on, let's go sledding on old Torkelson's Hill or whatever. And so she says, well, I have to get home with my little brother. And the little brother says, no, because this is his chance to be with big kids, with teenagers. So he says, I want to go, but he's not really dressed for it. And they go one slide after another, and they're all having so much fun that it does get very late. And even though she is warmly dressed with a scarf and so forth, her little brother just has kind of a light coat. And it's not long, and a couple days pass, and he develops a cough. And they just kind of overlooked that because, you know, it's the cold time of the year. But he and it's the sister who's telling the story to us. She said that her brother started taking piano lessons, you know, like at 5 or 6. And by the time he was 10 and 11, which is what he was at this time, in this small Minnesota community, he was considered a genius, you know, because he could really play that piano. And he had a big concert at the Sunday school Christmas program. But he develops then pneumonia. But he says, I'm going to be there. And he comes down at night and starts to practice. And they say, you know, you got to stay in bed if you're going to get over this. He says, but I got to practice. I got to be really good. Finally, he reaches the point where he can't get out of bed. And he happened to have striped bedspread. So he works with his little fingers, as if that is the piano. He's working his fingers on the spread of the bed. Well, it keeps getting worse. The fever gets high. And in those days, the family doctor came to the house, sat with him, and unfortunately and sorrowfully, the young boy died. And he never got to play at that Christmas. And he had, these were good Minnesota Lutherans, and he was practicing Away in a Manger, No Crib for a Bed, and that was written by Martin Luther, so it had extra meaning at the Lutheran Sunday School. He'd been practicing and practicing. Well, the funeral then is just a few days before Christmas. The family is gathering around, and Grandma brings over something to eat because the family is just completely listless. They're just completely devastated. And as they're sitting there very quietly, they just said grace, but no one can start to eat the chicken that Grandma has made. And then all of a sudden they hear just a couple notes on the piano. And they say, what was that? What was that? And they go over to the piano and they can actually see keys being depressed. And then they hear the strains of Away in a Manger, No Crib for a Bed, Little Lord Jesus Lay Down His Sweet Head. They hear that much of the music and then it stops. And the woman who told us the story said, I will always know that we heard my brother playing from heaven. We received a special concert pianist from heaven that night, my 10-year-old brother.
Wow.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Away in a Manger, No Crib for a Bed. That is just absolutely amazing.
Well, that's an old song. I used to sing that back when I was a kid.
Yeah,
yeah.
A lot of
funny guy. Oh, yeah, I just got ripped on. Yeah, I got ripped on for being old. Great.
They still sing it, I'm sure.
But no, I mean, yeah, I know the song all too well, and just to have a visitation like that again, you know, same thing as the last.
A message, a Christmas message.
Shut up, guys. Right. Eat your chicken. Eat your chicken. You know. Yeah, it sucks. I'm not here. I wish I could be here, but hey, everything's cool.
Just those notes, you know. It just isn't, you know, if it were the entire piece, you kind of think. But it was just those opening notes of the song, just enough to give them verification, just enough for them to say, again, life goes on, and that's what Christmas is all about.
Yes, exactly.
Another one about music, a very powerful. Emotional and, you know, universal thing is music, and it in both of the past examples, music was part of the message.
Yeah. Oh, when I hear bagpipes, I break down.
I was hoping you guys would pick up on that.
Yeah,
because I think it's very significant. Now, again, this is this has been a theory of mine for years, and you know, you can take it as you may, but. People have always said so often that angels sing to them. And it's not just the shepherds of old, but, you know, people who have visitations says, my angel sang to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've wondered if when they enter from one dimension to another, if that kind of just distorts their voice for a few moments. So it sounds like they're singing. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
interesting.
You're coming from one dimension to another, so until... Well, I believe that angels are paraphysical. I mean, they're unseen, but they can become physical. We can see them, so I term them paraphysical beings. So while they're making that transition from their dimension to ours, their voice wavers until they become more firmly embodied in our dimension. And this was brought to my mind again. I was reading in Science magazine the other night, and they're doing studies with voice and with speech and wondering why we speak, why we don't always sing, and how when certain phrases are repeated on a recording, when people hear it, and this is fascinating, they repeat it singing. I mean, you know, they have their own melody for it.
Yeah, right.
But again, what we know that birds communicate. What do we call it? We call it a
bird song.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yes. We don't say birds are talking to each other. We say they're singing. Yeah. So maybe.
And whale
maybe,
song as well.
I was going to say whales.
Exactly.
Whales are the same. Yeah.
So maybe early humans did the same. They sang to each other because the multidimensional beings who were appearing to them and communicating to them sang to them.
Well, for literally since I was a kid, and this is, you know, four decades, ghosts did two things. Ghosts, obviously, you know, not normal of this dimension, but have to, you know, have a lot of work to get here and let us know what's up. But ghosts did two things, you know, boo, of course, and
right.
You know, which is more of
why
a
do we do that
kind
to
of
signify
thing.
Ghosts.
Right.
Why do we do that?
I wonder if early on, a similar thing happened where they, you know, when they were trying to communicate, it came out as a moan or a, you know,
exactly.
A long.
And then that got turned into a cadence of some sort where, and then, you know, people construed that as music.
And it was, a nice long, it's musical at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't know. It's just something that, you know, that occurred to me years ago, and I just suddenly felt impelled to bring it up and see how you fellows react.
No, it makes perfect sense to me. I think it's fantastic. It's, you know, a lot of times that we find in history that, you know, there are all these weird things, these things that people perceive and things like that, you know, and like, for example, music and singing. I mean, that's a great example. You hear all these songs in, you know, in churches and all these things they do, and we just got into talking about how, you know, these music could have been born out of the pure fact that people were visited by angels or otherworldly beings, and that's where music was born from. That's a theory, right?
Well, that's the theory I'm saying.
Yeah.
And you obviously
theory.
Not hanging up the phone on me.
No,
to you.
No, I think it's fantastic.
I'm thinking of more supportive evidence, such as, for example, you know, because music is a very powerful thing. It can move people in just a few minutes. You can be taken from, you know, sorrow to lilting joy, back to sorrow,
exactly.
To confusion, to happiness, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
And there you go. You've,
well,
you've got a song.
That's what good music does, is it
that's
conveys
what good
an
music
emotion.
And
yeah.
It's got a lot of emotion and power and creativity in it. Well, what's one of the things that we talk about when we talk about ghosts and paranormal happenings is, you know, places of power.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Places that, where people, like, you know, theaters all across the world seem to be haunted. Why? Because they're places of power. You've got many, many people focused on a presentation. You've got the people on the stage who are focused on, you know, providing the presentation. There's all this
passionate
energy.
Passionate people
there.
Trying to communicate.
Passion and communications. And there you have that. And same thing with music. You've got power and emotion and communication. It's all wrapped up in a nice 3-minute little package. Although, you know, a song has, you know, can be as long as a piece of string. It's however long you need it to
of
be.
Course,
but,
of course.
But, you know, but the
well, let me give you one more.
Yeah.
Now,
please.
when people they feel that they're encountering what I call a spirit parasite. You can call it a demon, whatever you want to. A negative entity. Let's say that.
Yeah.
And they say, what do I do? What do I do? And I say, well, you know that old saying, whistling in the graveyard? That's not just a saying. What does that do? That breaks their contact. That breaks their communication. You're giving them static. So I tell people, whenever you feel you're being approached by a negative entity, burst into song. obviously not a sensuous or suggestive song, because that would produce a negative effect. But again, a joyous song, you know, just, you're doing whatever, or a hymn, you know, if that's your orientation. But it's just something that will break that connection. And you see, then you are suddenly free of that hold that that entity was attempting to squeeze on you.
I really like that. That's something that everybody should add to their repertoire of things. You know, I think you should also, do a visualization or a prayer or whatever, depending on what you do, in order to connect with yourself before and after any kind of experimentation or whatever.
Of course.
And then also, if something negative should happen, whistle a tune. Start singing a song.
This is primarily, I'm saying, you know, when you're caught off guard.
Yes.
You know, when you haven't seen any reason to do that blessing or visualization, you're just kind of minding your own business. I bet you two have been in that situation. I certainly have. Mm-hmm. And you suddenly, because of your sensitivity, you're suddenly aware that something's trying to get a hold of you. Well, what do you do? I mean, now maybe, you know, again, people say, well, I say the rosary. I say the Lord's Prayer. Well, that's fine, but it's these entities, I feel, have nothing to do with spirituality, nothing to do with religion. So if the rosary works, it's because, again, you've broken the contact.
You have the static.
But again, if you're not of that orientation, just bursting out with, whatever you feel is a powerful, positive song will do the trick.
I just go all John Wayne on them and just scare them back, and they run. They run to the hills, man. I just forget.
I wonder if singing in the shower might be because people are uncomfortable.
Well, because they've watched Psycho too many times. Psycho. That's why.
But before Psycho they did, and I think it's the same thing. Those negative ions are coming up around you, and I think it frees you in that case. And I think also, because we all know, even before Psycho, we know we're vulnerable when we are naked in that shower.
Well, yeah, so naked, you're
another
naked.
Reason we sing in the shower.
But I know, I've seen people and known people I've worked with and stuff over the years that they always were, like, in between talking, they were humming a tune. They were whistling. They were, I mean, they're at the office. Like, you know, they drive me nuts sometimes, but they'd be humming a song.
I was whistling just earlier today. Walking down that hallway, and I was going, I don't remember what I was whistling, but I was whistling.
I go to stores every once in a while, and this is unheard of nowadays, but, you know, I've been to some stores where I've seen people, like, just looking around at stuff, and or they're whistling, like, kind of quietly, you know. So some people just do it all the time, you know.
Part of a parapsychological defense mechanism, and we don't even know we're doing it.
I think so.
Yeah.
Unconsciously, I think it is.
Interesting.
Anyway.
Well, silence scares people. I think the silence. No, seriously.
I love silence.
Yeah, so do I. I
could be a librarian if I had a degree for it.
But I think some people have a.
As a writer, of course, is a requirement. But yeah. That's why we like to.
But I know. I think some people have a problem with silence, where, you know, they, like, some people, I, you know, they can't have a conversation go silent either, you know, because silence scares them,
right? We've done that a couple of times, though. This
We've done that plenty of times this
you,
whole
you
month.
Tell a whopper of a story, and then we're like, speechless.
Like,
wait a minute. This is radio. You're supposed to be talking all the time.
But that silence, you know, again, we're talking about, you know, music or making tones or toning. Amber and I were talking about that just a few nights ago, as a matter of fact, toning and the effect that music has on you and how...
Absolutely.
One song will touch you
powerful.
And you're whole. You know, powerful.
I have an idea.
What?
Challenge everybody, this, because Christmas is just a few days away.
Yeah, we got like 3 minutes on this show.
When you see your families, I know. When you see your families, start humming a tune with them. A Christmas carol or something.
Yeah, a Christmas, not Slayer. Christmas song, okay? Not Metallica or anything like that.
Right.
Something nice.
But an old Christmas song, maybe a carol you sang together as a child.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a perfect way to begin a greeting a family. Grab, a family gathering at Christmas. What could be better?
Grab a young niece of yours or something and say, I want you to sing me Frosty the Snowman and then join in. Or,
exactly.
You know, something like that. Just bring some music into your holiday celebrations in some way.
Yeah.
I think that would be a great
be a lot of fun,
thing
yeah.
for everybody.
That's a wonderful challenge to everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Brad, I have to say again, you know, at the beginning of this hour, I expressed my happiness for to finally have you on the show, and I've admired your work for years. Thank you again for joining us. It's been fantastic. We got to do it again, you know, for something else, too.
I've had a really good time.
Good.
And why shouldn't I? You guys agree with all my theories.
I see something here. The website, your website, Brad, is www.bradandsherry.com. And, of course, we can keep up. But give us just a little teaser. What do you think 2009 is going to be
like? Yeah, what do you think?
Two? Are you going to release 10 books? Is that going to be a world tour? What's up?
I think it's... I think we all must say a prayer for our nation.
Yeah.
I'm non-political, but I mean I follow the politics very closely, but I've never joined either party since I am a follower of George Washington, who said beware the two-party system.
Mm-hmm.
But what I told people, instead of arguing when they try to get me to one or the other, I say all I'm doing on election day, I'm voting, of course, but I am praying, and I suggest that everyone prays whoever becomes president, and now we know it's Obama.
Yeah.
We pray for guidance. We pray for the benevolent beings to look after our soldiers overseas, and we pray for the nation to become spiritually grounded as it once was.
Absolutely
wow.
fantastic, and we will. I like that. I'll get together
wonderful.
With my friends and family and do that.
Yeah, and thank you so much, Brad. That means a lot.
I mean, my pleasure.
That's wow.
My pleasure.
That's really and that's what it comes down to. I think with the where we're at right now as a nation, the United States of America, who's been nice enough to give us our freedom of speech to do this show for the last 7 years.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we acknowledge that. I mean, we do a lot of bitching out here, I know. but, you know, we're aware of that, and we're very happy to be somewhere where we can talk about these wild topics that we
That's
do every
right.
week, you know.
So pray for our nation and pray for deliverance of this terrible economic situation we're in.
Yep.
And on
yep.
that note of optimism that we will overcome, wish you Merry Christmas from Sherry and myself.
Thank you, Brad. Hold
thank
on for
you,
one second. Don't leave us just yet. We're just going to close the show out.
Hang yes. tight. Thank you, everybody. This is the last show of 2008.
Yeah.
And we'll be
2009.
Back in...
2009. Is that mind-blowing or what, man?
It's awesome. And
oh my
thank you
God.
For making a wonderful and successful 2008. Thank you to Brad Steiger for coming on the show. And,
yeah, thanks,
and
Brad. We really appreciate it.
Fantastic
yeah,
stuff. And you guys, thank you for listening.
Yeah.
We hope you had a great 2008. And
it's been a great one for 2000. I mean, for 2008, it's been the best year for Ghostly
let's
Talk.
Double
yeah.
it and have even better and learn more stuff in 2009. You guys, for Bonnie, for all the listeners.
I can speak for myself, jerk off.
You can speak
for
yourself.
Scott L.
all right. And from me, Doug. Absolutely. I hope you have a fantastic
Merry Christmas.
Christmas
yeah.
and
Happy
a
New
great,
Year.
Great New Year. And we'll see you on the other side. We're going to be hanging out with Father Time until then.
Yep. Guys, take it easy. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. All that good stuff. This has been Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
See you guys next year.
Ghostly Talk!
You have been listening to Ghostly Talk Paranormal Talk Radio. The Ghostly Talk audio program is distributed for free under the Open Content License. Please share with all your friends and support independent media.